Thank you, Ian. We end our news stories with a long-lost cat who is reunited with its owner, a two-day-old foal is the newest addition in a city green space, and, having earlier heard online comments about safety fears in St Stephen Street, there are calls for an urgent review.
A beloved green space has welcomed its newest neighbour, a grey and white male foal. The baby horse was welcomed into the world at the Deer Park in Old Catton. Within a couple of hours, he was up on his feet and enjoying the autumn sunshine. Both mother and baby are doing well, their owner, who wishes to remain anonymous, has confirmed. Cathy Branson is the chairman of the Deer Park Action Group. The group was established to campaign against Devlin Development's intentions to build homes on the Grade 2 listed oasis on the outskirts of the city of Norwich. She said that the birth of the colt further highlights the importance of the park to the people of Old Catton and the wider city area. She added, "We weren't expecting the baby, so it was a complete shock and a lovely surprise. It's great that there's new life at the Deer Park. For me, there's been so many people already coming down and taking photographs. It just shows how much this means to the village to have this green space. It's generated so much excitement. In this time of turmoil and upheaval, it's nice to have something to brighten our days." Another foal was born at Old Catton Deer Park in June, which was named Hope by evening news readers. The name of the new addition has not yet been revealed. As well as deer, as the name of the park suggests, the green space is home to an array of wildlife, including foxes, owls, and most recently, evidence of a rare bat species. The park inspired beloved children's author Anna Sewell to pen the 1877 classic Black Beauty. It is believed the novelist wrote the book from her desk in Old Catton's White House, which has become known as the Anna Sewell House, 140 years ago, where she would have enjoyed views over the Deer Park.
From a long-standing watering hole to a newly refurbished watermill, two Norfolk pubs have been named among the best places to drink in the UK. Both the Fat Cat in Norwich and Sculthorpe Mill near Fakenham were runners-up in the drinking category at the Observer Food Monthly Awards 2022. The ceremony was held in London earlier this month, with famous cook and joint Norwich City FC majority shareholder Delia Smith winning the Icon Award too. The winner of the Best Place to Drink category was Ginger Viking in the Dorset market town of Blandford Forum. The CAMRA award-winning Fat Cat in the city's West End Street offers more than 30 real ales and a strong cider selection. It was established in December 1991 by Colin and Margie Keatley. Elsewhere in Norfolk, Sculthorpe Mill was reopened by sisters Siobhan and Catriona Payton last summer, and it has made a big impression, also featuring in the Michelin Guide 2022. The pub is praised for its local brews and extensive beer garden, with the front looking out onto the River Wensum.
Growing safety fears over the revamped St Stephen Street have prompted a high-level political intervention. Since buses were finally allowed back along the street, which even after 9 months of work and a £6.1 million price tag, remains unfinished, there has been a deluge of complaints from cyclists and pedestrians. Cyclists claim the road now has a lot of blind spots, and people in wheelchairs have also voiced concern over controversial rusted metal planters, which they say have sharp corners. Now, County Council Labour leader Stephen Morphew is demanding answers from the street, which opened earlier this month, from Martin Wilby, who is the Cabinet member responsible for highways. "We've been growing increasingly concerned with complaints about St Stephen's since it reopened, particularly danger to cyclists, but there have been a string of concerns from the ability of large vehicles to pass others parked in the bays, to the absence of shelters and more," said Councillor Morphew. So I'm going to write to Martin Wilby and ask him to commission an urgent review. When people raise issues about public safety, they need to be dealt with urgently. If they're cosmetic problems, then they can be gone back to. It's important to draw a distinction between the two. But at the same time, if we are looking at safety issues, we might as well look at all of the others at the same time. Councillor Wilby said, "We have worked closely with bus operators throughout the design and construction of St Stephen's, and they haven't raised any issues with the bus bays. In fact, the bus companies have commented on how the new design is an improvement and helps with both safety and accessibility. We understand and share the frustration caused by the delay to the new bus shelters arriving. The new shelters will be delivered and installed in the new year."
A warming portion of fish and chips has been a winter staple for generations. But fryers have warned of challenging months ahead for their industry as they take a battering from soaring energy bills and the cost of living crisis. Some of the region's independent fish and chip shops have been forced to cut the number of days on which they open, while others are reducing their hours, restricting their menus, and even cutting jobs. The industry has seen prices of energy, fish, potatoes, and oil all increase, partly as a result of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, a key supplier of whitefish. At the same time, shop owners fear customers may cut out regular fish and chip nights to reduce their spending. The National Federation of Fish Fryers, NFFF, has warned that the combination of factors could lead to an extinction event for the industry this winter. At Grosvenor Fish Bar on Norwich's Lower Goat Lane, there are not currently any plans to reduce trading days, but owners Christian Motta and Dwayne Di Bartolomeo are looking at cost-cutting measures. Mr. Di Bartolomeo said they were relying on a mild winter to keep trade steady. "We will need warmer uniforms at the shop," he said. "The frying range pumps out a lot of heat, so hopefully we will be able to harness some of that. We are also in the midst of construction here, and we are having thicker glass put in the windows, which should help. And while I do not see us impacting our customers in any way, we know that at home they have already been impacted by the increasing cost of gas and electricity." Many chippy owners have reported huge gas and electricity bill increases, some more than doubling. The NFFF has urged the government to cut VAT in order to help shops with their energy bills. "Our electric is up 25% and gas has doubled," Mr. Di Bartolomeo said. "We are not sure how a contract is of any good if the prices keep going up. For business, a VAT relief would certainly help. These are tough economic times for everyone."
It's a heartbreaking experience for pet owners who search in vain but never find their missing furry friends. But a Cossie woman has proven people should never give up hope after she was reunited with her cat 5 years later. Kimberly Cartledge said she couldn't believe it when she opened her inbox to see a photo of her long-gone cat, Fudge. The kitty had been taken into the care of Feline Care Cat Rescue after it was found at Snetterton Services. Kimberly said, "On Sunday morning, someone had shared the rescue's post with me and straight away I knew it was Fudge. She has a distinctive little moustache. I was in complete shock. You don't often hear of cats being found after such a long time." The 33-year-old had owned Fudge for 6 years before moving into a new home, where Fudge struggled to settle. Soon Fudge, a notorious escape artist, had done a runner. Despite desperate efforts, the cat was nowhere to be found. But after receiving the alert, she was certain the cat was the missing Fudge, and Kimberly got in contact with the rescue team. At the emotional reunion, Feline Care Cat Rescue founder Molly Farrar said it was clear that Fudge recognised her once owner. As Fudge was found in relatively good health, Miss Farrar believes the cat has been cared for. She has reminded cat owners to get their felines microchipped so they are not mistaken as strays.
Prices in Norwich's council-owned car parks are going up. Following a five-year freeze, the council announced changes to car parking charges in September. It will affect both multi-storey and pay and display car parks. The changes to multi-storey charges are St Andrews going from between £1.80 to £6 to between £2 and £10, Rose Lane going from between £1.80 and £6 to between £2 and £7.50, St Giles only changing from £8.50 to £10 for up to 4 hours. Pay and display charges in Barn Road, Chantry, Chapelfield East, Colgate, Magdalen Street, Monastery Court, Pottergate, Queen's Road, Rouen Road, St Crispin's and Wessex Street are changing from between £1.30 and £15 to between £2.20 and £20. All evening charges are going to be from £2.20 to £3. Norwich City Council has said the new tariffs will provide a more consistent approach to charges and generate essential income for the maintenance of the car parks. It previously said, no one likes putting car costs up, but the funding pays for essential services which are facing real-term cuts due to increasing inflation. The prices remain competitive with city centre privately owned car parks and other council car parks in comparable cities. We're also really fortunate that Norwich is well serviced by alternative transportation options, such as bus, train and park and ride services. Income from the increased charges will allow future improvements to city parking provisions.
Families across the city will be reaching for their porridge pots for a warming start to the day as temperatures drop. But one Norwich company plans to ensure its oats are not only on the breakfast table, but also in the shower. Norwich Porridge was created by friends Gavin Fulcher and Tom Gin, who were training for a marathon in 2016. The pair were floored by how fantastic the ingredient was, and so quickly developed a range with 5 flavours. Now the pair have decided to take their oats and make them into soap. Gavin has long been a believer that porridge oats have healing powers. When he recently became a dad and had to combat nappy rash, he found that an oat bath was the answer to his prayers. He said an oat bath involves filling a sock about half full with oats, tying a knot in it and placing it in the baby bath. The results are fantastic. After 2 oat baths, our baby's sore rash completely disappeared. I contacted Gerhard Horn, co-owner of the Norwich Soap Company, to collaborate on the creation of a natural everyday porridge soap for everyone. I'm really proud of what we've created. The soap will be available soon from Norwich Porridge website.
That's all for this edition of Chatterbox. All the features were taken from the Eastern Evening News with the kind permission of Archant, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for this audio version. A gentle reminder that when you have finished listening to this recording, please return the memory stick to us by popping it in the wallet, turning over the address label and putting it in the postbox. There is no postage to pay. You know we always like to hear from you with any feedback or news, so do get in touch with us on the office number 01603 765 365, or email us at contact@cbtn.org.uk. If there is no reply, do leave us a message and we will return your call. We hope you have enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. This evening, your readers were Gaynor Lord and Paul Henderson on part one. Sarah Lusher was the editor, and Eddie Armhurst was the sound recordist. So from me, Carolyn Sayer, goodbye.
And from me, Mike Spivey, goodbye.